So we are starting a new series about Jesus in the Old Testament. You might be saying, but Dan, Jesus is the New Testament, right? Old Testament, kind of Bible heroes and stuff before Jesus, New Testament about Jesus' life. And I'd say, well, yes, you are right. However, Jesus is God, and God is eternal, and God has been there throughout Scripture. So we do find Jesus in the Old Testament, just maybe not as kind of obvious in the New as the New Testament. Jesus is very much kind of hidden in plain sight in the Old Testament. He's there, but he's not obviously there. Or you see things to do with him, but we find out later why that was to do with him. And we want to start by looking at that this week and go through various different well-known stories, well-known characters, and looking at how do these stories point towards and echo Jesus and who God was sending, the one who will come to save us all. When I was a kid, kind of young teenager, I had a bunch of books called Where's Wally books, which had this fella in them. And the point of these books was to find Wally. So you might have a page like this and all sorts of things going on. Very well done drawing, telling an amazing story when you look at all the different bits that are happening. And amongst this somewhere is Wally and his friends and all these different items. And it was a really good thing to do to try and find things. I used to really enjoy these as a kid, looking for all the different bits and pieces and trying all the challenges out. I had a giggle earlier on this year with everything that's been different this year. The American version, Where's Waldo, released a social distancing edition, which is obviously much easier, but it did make me laugh. So the idea that, yeah, he's there, he's in the picture, it's just when there's not as much going on around him, it's easier to spot him. But this is one of the pictures. Can you see Wally here? You may have already spotted him. Your eyes are usually drawn to the center of a page, and if they were, then you may have found him straight away. There he is. Not looking very beach-like, we've got surrounding him. And if you can't see in the back, there we go, just zoomed in. Blown him up. So he's got all his backpack and stuff on as he's on his journey. And this was the idea of finding Wally. And this is what we want to do with our preaching series now. We want to look at Old Testament scriptures and be looking, where is Jesus in this? The stories that are told, these pictures that are painted, but in there is God at work and we find Jesus. Noah's Ark, probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible, arguably one of the most famous stories in the world. It's something that many a child at some point has seen or has heard or has read about. It was a Sunday school favourite when I was growing up. And it's strange how there's a lot to this story. And really, when you look at it, it's not the best children's story, but the animals and stuff make it very nice and fluffy. But there's a lot more going on in Noah's Ark. And what I want to look at today particularly is the character of Noah. And this is who we're going to look at while we look for Jesus in our story. So the Bible tells us in Genesis 6, 5 to 8, that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So what the story of Noah tells us in a nutshell is that the world was a mess. In the words of Sebastian from The Little Mermaid, the human world was a mess. So God wants to do something about this. And God's plan was just to literally wash it clean, to send a great flood, to wipe out humanity, to wipe out the animals, to wipe out the living things so that he can start again without the wickedness. However, we're also told in verse 8 that there was a man called Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was right with God. And so because of this, God said, well, actually, it's not okay for me to wipe out everyone and everything, because there is at least one who has followed me and who I want to save. And so Noah was spoken to by God and said, Noah, build a great big ark, a huge boat, a vessel that you and your family and two or even seven of every type of animal that I will send to you can be saved, so that not everything will be wiped out, so that we can clean the wickedness from the earth and start again. And so Noah, he did this. He started building a boat. Noah lived in the middle of the desert, somewhere where there was not a body of water nearby. Some Bible historians even debate whether Noah had even understood what this type of body of water could look like, and maybe he'd not even ever seen a sea or a large lake. But there certainly was not something nearby that this boat was going to clearly go into. And so the people made fun of him. I mean, they really ridiculed him. They thought he was absolutely bonkers, off his head crazy. Why was he building his colossal boat in an area where there's no way it could be used? Or so they thought. But Noah still did it. Genesis 6:22 says, and Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Which, of course, he did. This is a guy who was right with God, who followed God, who God had seen amongst the wickedness, like almost like God's own version of spotting Noah in this picture of wickedness and saying, I will save Noah and his family and animals because of my grace, because of his righteousness. So this is what happened. And the spoiler alert, if you don't know the end of the story, the flood came and they went into the boat, Noah and his family and the animals that God had sent them, and they survived. At the end of this, we see that Noah's faith, his obedience to God, is what saved him and his family and those animals. He did what God asked him to do, and God saved them. And then a rainbow was put in the sky. The Bible says this was the promise given from God, that he will never do this again. He will never wipe out humanity like with a great flood, like he did in this story. And it was a sign given to Noah and his family as they carried on into the world and started again, that God was with him and that God will keep his promises. So how does Noah relate to Jesus? Where is Jesus in that story? Well, when we look at Noah, he is identified as God, as the righteous one, the one who deserves to be saved, the one who does not deserve to be punished for this, for sin and wickedness. And later on in the New Testament, this is how Jesus is also described. Jesus as the only righteous one, the only sinless man who has never done wrong, who is completely right in the eyes of God. The world was a mess in the time of Noah. It is still very much a mess now and has remained a mess. The plan to fix the world has never really changed. God is wanting to reset his creation. The Bible tells us that there will come a day when a new heaven, new earth will be here, when all will be perfect, but there'll be no more pain or suffering or tears. And this is still God's plan. So like with Noah, that was to save a group of people. This time, Jesus was here to fix the entire world. Noah built a boat as the vessel which would save the people. A wooden boat was created, and all those who went into the boat, who trusted and put their faith in Noah and the boat, were saved. At the time of Jesus, it was a wooden cross that was used, that Jesus would be the only occupant of. But all those who trusted in him, all those who put their faith in him, would be saved. Noah was mocked, ridiculed, told he was crazy. What are you doing? This is nuts. How is this ever going to help? The same happened to Jesus. He was cruelly beaten, mocked, abused, treated awfully. And to the whole world, the Bible says, the cross seemed foolish. As if, how could that help? How could this man dying on a cross save anyone? But it did. God was commanded Noah, and Noah did what he was commanded. God commanded Jesus. And even though it was hard, in those final prayers in the garden before he was arrested and taken to the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He was still obedient, even to death on a cross. And because of Noah's faith, because of the ark, people were saved. Because of Jesus' sacrifice and his obedience to go to the cross, we are all offered forgiveness. We are all offered the chance to be saved. And while hanging on that cross, Jesus even said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was for all, once and for all, for those who believe and accept. And the promise of the rainbow still stood, and God kept that promise. But now we have a new thing to look to, a new image. It's the image of the cross, where we see that not us, for our wickedness, for our sin, the things that we've done wrong, that we deserve to be punished for, but instead the one and only righteous man, Jesus Christ, He took our punishment. He took our sin. He went to the cross instead of us. And because of that, we can all be saved. We are all offered forgiveness and a fresh start with God. And this is just one example in the Old Testament of stories that point towards what is to come and what was to come with Jesus. We live in a wonderful time now where we get to look back, we get to see the New Testament, we get to look back at the Old Testament, and we get to make these links. God has always been at work. He's always had a plan. Jesus was not plan B. It was not, oh, well, that's failed. I've tried the flood. I've tried this. I've tried all these different things. Oh, well, I might as well just send my son. It was always the plan. And so the Old Testament points towards this. It echoes what is to come. And it is amazing. Like, there's Where's Wally moments when you just find Jesus at work amongst these stories. So we do encourage you, keep joining us for these online services. Keep coming along, check in with the talks and see the other times throughout the Old Testament. But also get your Bibles open. Start reading for yourself. Start having your own Where's Jesus moments in the Old Testament. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have revealed yourself step by step through Scripture. I thank you that the plan of Jesus going to the cross to save us, to forgive us, take all our sin, all our wickedness from us, has always been plan A. God, I pray that you'll help us to see that and to discover you as we read the Old Testament. And I pray that we can put our trust and our faith in you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for us, and for offering us new life, saved from a wicked world. Amen.